Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education special work session. Today is Monday, July 21st, 2025. And the time is 5:31. Do we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Can you please stand for the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know Mary's not here to hear this, but hey, thanks for having us out here. Both did a great job with the walking is all about, and what a nice setting. So our first item is the facilities and pool question. The first set of papers in front of you, there's a whole lot of information there. If you've got any two guests with us, Gary Blanchett from PM, he's going to talk about what these first set of pages mean, okay? And then we have Mark Fuller, we're going to talk about further about kind of ideas around what we're looking at. So lots more. Remember, this is just the very, very, very beginning. One of our prior meetings was, well, how much are the community members spent? So you look at each township, where is the money's going, in the tax bracket, or in the tax. All right, so that's what these first set of documents. Then Carrie's going to get into, we're going to go page by page and talk about what each page is. So Carrie, you ready?
Sure.
All right.
In front of you, I'll just go page by page. The first one was in response to the question just about how we take an overall. As we've highlighted every jurisdiction that the school district covers, and this is the county portion report, so if you look in the first one, someone that lives in Exeter Township and is within the school district, if they are in that township, $25 million. All the way to the right side, 4 pounds from the end, the PRE, the principal residence. That's not the primary residence or an industrial or a business.
So, Carrie, I appreciate that. One of the questions would be, I think, is so a crew member has a value is $100,000. What is their taxes going to be in Exeter Township?
So that's $1,000 of the so it's $400.
Yep. So if it's a primary residence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not the primary would be $2,500. All under one of that. That would be you just find your local unit and look up. You place the residence. That range is from is a total for the principal residence of 43.12 per house That would be more than 50%. That would be the value that should be with us. If you lived in your house So it's going to be quite a bit of difference.
Yeah, it depends on what
number. Yeah, you don't use
that. Zillow's trying to set the market on those anyway. But
yeah.
What's the Headley Act is kind of constrained at?
Yeah. Well, it's not A. Related to the CPI forecast. Other things that have happened within the school district, not related necessarily to your property, your millage rates can go get rolled back, and they roll back, so you end up with a lower millage rate. The thought being that they want taxing jurisdictions to effectively get not more than the regular inflation and interest, but sometimes you don't even get that. So, but that's what these first two pages represent. There's just an update to that. I think I've shared before with you over the years. Last one election. For schools within the this bar chart showing the millage rate for capital, so that's contingent fund. So that millage, and then the yellow is contingent fund. We actually put in Jefferson's record. But what I would observe is that if we were to add on the surrounding counties, that average would jump up. Okay. That, yes, it would be a
$20 bond, right? Yeah. Because which we hold for another 20 years or something. I think it's like 20 years. Give or take. 2050? That's 25 years. Yeah. It's like a house.
We have still clients that are still in facilities that were built over 100 years ago.
But if they've been well maintained, there's some that are really, really just well maintained buildings.
It's a summary of some scenarios that we share with the district. We were talking, really, the question that was asked of us was, could the school district bond for and stay within a total debt millage of 3.5 mils? So you currently levy 1.5 mils to service your existing debt. So if we took new debt and wrapped it around that existing debt payment, what could you afford?
But we also have sinking fund on there.
Yeah.
The one
the sinking fund, yeah, that's on top of it. I would really just focus on the debt. So what to do for what we came back with was anywhere between $78 and $80 million bond proposition. That assumes that the bond would be sold on either two or three series, bond amount or a bond proposition amount that you can come up with. And also depending on how you phase in the series, it can impact the overall total bond proposition amount. Because I showed two scenarios where the second scenario, I purposely had the first series be a smaller bond amount because The money you need initially is in the last congressional people line. You're not going to go through before a bond election and spend a lot of money on your softbox.
Right.
Because you don't want to spend that, commit that money.
But you're not going to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that one, we cut the first series smaller. $15 million in a calendar year. If you stick to that amount, no issue with you more. You can invest the bond proceeds in that community. You can invest if you all where if it's over $15 million and or if you get to some guidelines. Run over the bond rate, it has to go like 1%. So it's just a way of getting more money.
Well, we haven't received a lot of investment off the previous bond.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, what's the average per year?
When you sold your prior one, it was at a time where interest was almost nothing.
Right.
This one, now, like, the people that are issuing bonds right now, that short-term interest rate is pretty high. Schools are finding themselves in a position, if you invest it right, that you're earning more than you're paying on the bonds. So that's why this... That
from prior year or for the current one? For the new one?
It's per issue.
You need both amounts.
So every issue is a standalone issue.
Okay.
So if you were to issue a $15 million bond, or whether it's 15 or 40, whatever, that any investment earnings on that issue is... based on the yield on that bond issue.
Okay.
So it was just a way, like I said, you can say more, but you're not going to need that much money up front. So my thought was, keep that first one, $15 million or less, and we had a lot of time to work out what we really would need within that cycle. It might be something lower than that.
So maybe I misunderstood our previous conversations. So I thought we were looking for one bond. Are we looking for more than one?
You only vote one bond issue. You could do it all in one series. It would be a smaller amount. But because you normally don't spend the money in a, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 year cycle, it takes longer to spend it. If you break that up and sell it in series, you can get a higher.
Which is?
So, what we did is, I'll give you clarity, is get a great example. That's all we've done. There's nothing more than that. So, this example is the same as for 2 months. At the end of the day, when we go through the projects and we decide something, we're like, nope, we're okay. These projects are going to need 1.5 mils. Do this. We also, there's other documents, but I don't overwhelm you that. We went out saying, okay, 20 years. So this is a 20-year payback. The other part was we also talked about it in the meeting.
Okay, so we talked about the rate and
interest. No, this is a 20-year payback.
That's where I got the 20.
Yeah, because I did provide the district with options.
Yeah. We didn't see this paperwork.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But
yeah.
20 and 25 and 30 years. The longer you go, the more expensive it is. And it doesn't necessarily produce a bigger amount.
Right.
The interest rate goes up.
That's why I'm probably going to have more questions, because I'm seeing it as you're explaining.
Well, no, and that was why it wouldn't have done me any good just for giving us before without first year. I think the big part, too, is if you look at the election date, remember in that column when we talked about roughly a month ago, and they're kind of like, okay, hey, we really start talking more maybe about a November 26th election, what that might look like. So we just used as an example 2 mils with an August election or a November election, and what does that mean? Because the math changes. And so that's what Kerry is presenting today, is just an example of if you did an August election, what it would look like. If you did a November election, what it would look like. And she's giving advice about the number of series that you was potentially looking at.
And then, please, it's really not an apples-to-apples comparison. One was using 2 series, one was using 3 series. So I think the bond size, we could probably get close on either one, but there is sort of a nuance with the timing, because if you have an election in August, you levy your debt millage and your sinking fund millage in December. So an August election, no problem getting on the December tax levy. November, that becomes a challenge. I did talk to Rob Gavin, your bond attorney, and he said you can do it. So we have various opinions on whether you can or can't have a debt millage that you vote in November if you put on the December tax bill. But it's not a great idea, because that means your folks have to redo their tax bills. They're not going to be very happy. So I think when we were talking, I had to assume that we were looking at the November 26th bond election, that we wouldn't be doing the levy until the following year. So I purposely kept that first series very small, because I didn't want, I wanted the interest payment to be very small in that first cycle.
I kind of catch us up from our last conversation, because our last conversation was, we didn't even know if we even wanted to consider this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I look at all the work that you are putting in, and there was never a let's move forward on this. So I really thought tonight's meeting was us sitting and saying, is this something we even want to consider? So that's where my stuff's coming from, is do we even want to consider this? Is it something we want to take on? Is it necessary to take on? I just don't want to make it like it's a done deal and we're wasting your time.
No. This is why we asked her,
because
we were asking what
was it
going to cost
our
taxpayers.
Yeah. I didn't know she was coming. I understand that. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page with the last conversation in this meeting. There's a big, big jump.
But this is normal. So there's normal conversation sometimes within a few years.
Yeah.
So don't look at any year here and think you're okay. Back to that. Really, you want to take the time to think about it, right?
Yeah.
So this is just the initial discussion.
Okay,
this is what it has looked like. And oftentimes you'll give directed back saying, well, I think this is too fast. This amount we really need. So there is so much back and forth. This is just the initial discussion, what it might look like. And I just wanted to make sure you understood on the timing, because of your levy cycle. You know, a May election works fine, an August election works fine. November becomes a little problematic. It's not problematic if you're okay with waiting and not doing the first series of bonds, or keeping that first series smaller, which is fine. But November isn't optimal, because you're going to, even though now you have a legal opinion that says you can do it, I don't know if you want to mess. You don't want to get
There's
probably some challenges on it.
Honestly, right now we have to get, when we do our designs, we have to have it completed probably in the time frame to get to the states.
And to get bidding, so that contractors can get manpower and materials for the following summer. $15 million, even, that's a good number. That's tough to get that kind of manpower for the following summer in a short period. So, you know, some of these projects we may need 6 months to a year to design. So on the front end, it would be a much smaller.
So May to election, May to May or August election cycle would be beneficial to both of you.
Is that what you're hearing? But you're going to start that first year with a much smaller project.
Right.
Series is smart to be a lot smaller.
The other part you see too is so the voters voted in. Yeah, but on November election, you're not seeing any work until the summer of 28.
So November 26th, you're not seeing work because of the design date. Sure. Hold on. We passed that. So back to, yeah, we passed it then, but we didn't start collecting until December of 27. So that, okay.
Looking at buying my house, like right then, what I'm looking at is the amount of debt that we're taking on and adding on to the debt that's already been incurred that is still sitting there. Yeah. And I understand people think it's insignificant. I just feel differently about that.
So, but that's why we do have Terry with us today, because actually that do come about. For example, the assumption section. I think that's going to spend a lot of time right there here in a moment, because these questions that are in the assumption section are ones that are often different. Yeah, I'm with Dublin. How much money exactly are we going to ask for and compiled on top of what we
78 million.
78 million. And what exactly are we going to do? So that's where, what is this going to exactly? And we're going to get back into that here in a few minutes. Yeah, okay. But we have to do a lot of education up front. And that's about how the whole system works. And we're using 2 mills as an example. Again, it might be 1 mill. It could be like, you know something, you might get the stuff done. Sure. What is that number? And we don't know. We had to give you an example. But like I said, though, in our school district, we do have somebody that's a doctor. And I appreciate when Garland asked the question about, okay, what do our pieces pay now? Okay. I think if you look at right now, if you went back to those first 2 pages, 1/2 of a second, for Monroe Public Schools, if you look at the debt or site, that's what Monroe Public Schools is collecting. The other number that says in the school section is either ISD or mandated by the state of Michigan. Okay? And so when we start to look at when we talk about other school districts and everything like that, that becomes a point. The point is, when you start looking across there, you can get a feel for what is the lowest portion of, for example, over there in Exeter, we're at 2.5 mils. What we have taken the voter, everything else is required, you know, out of the 25 mils. The 2.5 is the score. So I know that there's a lot to this, but this is just one step of education here. So, but Carrie, the assumptions is a big section.
It's huge for set of years, really, as compared to any of the other clients I work with. And that has to do with the decommissioning. So, what we've done is we've built into these numbers the decommissioning with the police and that they issued, with part of it coming out in 28, part of it in 32. I asked for more direction from the county and the city, and they don't have anything yet. So we also do the work for both of them. And they said as soon as they have more information, you know, at this point, we're assuming it all comes offline.
Yeah, that's a big answer.
Yeah. Because when we started talking about this, I said it has to be factored in. And I know with this current administration, the view is a little different on whether that really is going to happen or not, because there's not as much focus on the clean energy as previously. But these numbers factor that in. And then beyond that, on the other part of the tax base, it's only assuming a 1.75% growth in taxable value. So it's taken the park plan off completely. And 1.75 for everything. So, you know, and what we talked about is I want to have some context on what's going on, is there different phasing, let's fold this into these numbers. What I probably should have brought up in the beginning is I'm also a taxpayer. I live in the city, so I do pay these taxes. So, probably more familiar with the area than, you know, I don't know how it works.
For example, for table 2A, where you're really issuing it in 3 steps, does that interest rate, the 4.75, stay the same or can it change?
It can change. So if interest rates were to change,
it would go up or down. That would be a problem. We try to be conservative, but that would sell lower. But I don't like using current rates when we're projecting these things. So.
That could change overnight.
Too long.
I mean, if you think about the last time we had some of that power plant that's actually built because we estimated.
The reason we did the three series on the second option was because of timing. You just put in the four in a big series, but I would think when we're talking, if you do proceed, and you didn't get it because to your point, it's so early, it's not. Andy is asking for some rough ideas of numbers.
That makes sense. Get the money when you need it.
So this just assumes 20 years. We can certainly show you other options, but as I said, as you increase your terms, your interest rate's going to go up, your interest rate's going to go up too. And you on the summer too, the estimated interest cost is.
What page are you on?
This is the show within the middle of the column. So for that $78 million under the first option, if you're assuming it's going to cost you about $37 million. So that's assuming two series. Each of those series would be 20-year terms. The second option, option 2A, is three series. Each of those series would be 20-year terms. And I think the best, and then so that just shows you, you know, the amount, the total. It summarizes all the detail on the individual note schedule. And then the next page is at different taxable values. That's what the minimum rate would go up. And either schedules are there.
I think that's going to be the impact page on us taking more money out of people's pockets and saying, why would we be doing that? And I think that's a real page that people can resonate with and say, you know, if I had an extra $300, what would I want to do with it? So I think that page is very, very well put forward. Thank you.
You don't have a lot of room, because what the typical question, what Andy's question initially was, how much could we do without the millage increase? Well, because of that phase-in, or that phase-out of the power plant, you know, we're going to be really close to that millage. You know, there's some room as you go out, and there's a graph near that shows it, but it's not going to produce anything meaningful. It's almost a preliminary number. But every year that'll change as there's other, you know, goals in different things like the school district. There's different, you know, new developments. Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's. Sorry. The fly keeps going.
But the value of that new construction is not at your top dollar rate. The value of that construction is going to be your lower rate. Right? That's currently been developed in the room. I don't think it's like $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 homes
enough
that are being built.
Yeah. About $400,000 right now.
Just for an
average.
I just sold my house, so yeah. I get it, but.
New construction is probably 400,000.
You get a house for 400, tell me, because I'm looking to get something. So.
The reason I say that is because we always talk about demographics in Monroe, and we talk about the impact of what the demographic change has been over the years in Monroe. What is the average? We always ask them, what is the data on the average cost of a home? What's the average income? How many people are on low income? You know, because that affects everything that happens to the school system. And so all of those things play a complete impact.
You know, all those new developments that are on the ground, people that are on those schools,
Those are actually pretty affordable houses. I don't actually remember.
So those are about 200,000 on a place. So I think those are.
If we're talking about the values being topped at $400,000, why am I looking at a table, this may be my own ignorance, why am I looking at a table that stops at $250,000? So that's half.
That's half.
That's half. Okay. Thank you.
And then the lower end, you have to keep in mind that you have people that have been in their houses.
Sure.
For
got it.
Yeah, I would probably argue $30,000.
Can't imagine a $60,000 home. Outside
yeah.
Of certain areas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
How about mobile homes? How are those tax similar to housing?
No, that's not they were tax similar.
It's like renters.
Yeah, it's some small.
Well, they're paying a sales tax up front.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying manufactured home tax. Versus buying and paying a sales tax. It's like they're buying a car. No, no. Understood. No, I get it. I don't foresee a lot of those being built going forward.
No, but
sure.
I would say the draft, yeah, will be the first one and really the graph to me is the most important one.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of numbers. This is why we give you the summary table.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's really small numbers, but what we basically are doing to the part that payment, the existing bond authorization. And then we're adding projected payments on, in this case, the two series of bonds, and adding an allowance for contingency just because we'd like to cash flow kickers, but there's not every of the taxes in place, so we built that in. And then we project out your tax base, and if you look at the growth rate for 2 years where we're taking off the power plant. And then we did 1.75%. The reason it drops down is when you factor everything in and factor in those drops, you know, your 20-year average goes down to a smaller amount. But it's showing that count second to the right is the that we can need a service this new bond composition. That and say, well, that's more than 2 mils. That's because we're building that we're wrapping it around an existing debt. So as that millage is over 2 mils, that means the millage that you need is a little bit less than the 1.5 mil that year. So
that's dropping.
Right. So if you look at this.
But then the other one has to go.
This is the best thing. This is what I use over the school books. It's steady. There's 1 year that you might say, why is that the best right that drop there? Because I'm using some obviously one that seems I'm using cash on. Every dollar you have available. But the red represents the notes to service your existing debt. The gray is the new proposed debt.
Yep, should have reversed the colors. That really made an impact.
So
visual perception there.
So, and here's one of these schedules for each of options.
Okay.
On the schedule, the detail on the existing debt is there, so the existing debt payments are there. It's a ways off, but we will be refinancing that debt from the down in the future. That's one for the taxpayers and
That's possible. It's not.
If I look at it, it's that, you know, a lot of those coupon rates are 5%, so the most we sold assumed that you would be refunding those bonds.
Yeah.
So it's already sort of been, they're assuming that's going to be fall the way on the 5th of August. So more so in the 2020 series than the 2023. And then after the existing debt payment schedule is a projection showing the millage, what we would just project the millage to be on the existing debt payment. And we just gradually use your existing. We don't want to, we've never increased or decreased or increased. Yeah, we've never adjusted on the millage. We always make sure when you're reducing the millage, you can keep it there. And you're stepping down.
But that's also not a guarantee.
Yeah.
It's a projected that reasonable expectation that folks are
going with that, with the telephone going up. Second to last page is the history of the tax. But for yours, the last page actually shows you what we're still going to do for that. And then 32.
This is not related to your chart, but it made me think of it when I looked at it. All the improvements that were made with the last bond that was 50 plus million, what did the value of the properties, how did they correlate on a rate? Like, how did they go up? What was the rate of growth?
You don't get taxed on
your tax. No, I know that, but doesn't the, if I put $2 million into the high school, I would believe that the property value of that school would go up. It's not assessed the same way.
No,
I know it's not taxed, but no one looks at the value of any of the properties. Unless
it would be
I'm just thinking if you put $50 million into a system like
so that this October, end of September, ask that of our auditor, and I'll bring it up to you. Quick. I know that we do have a depreciation schedule, and so when the print goes in, you know, it's up there, the depreciation there.
Because it helped with the conversation.
But there's no.
It's on paper only.
It's a paper thing. There's,
everything's on paper.
Yeah, there's no.
You can't sell the school for.
Unless you got a real specific buyer, I don't know that you could put a value on the properties.
They tried to appraise, they would sell something right there.
Just like
they
sold the property,
it wasn't,
so
they
had to be.
So we used on that one, the school a long time ago had set what they wanted per acre.
Oh, so it's already done.
And so that's how that number was generated. Well, there's going to be, know that Carrie does live in the community, know that Carrie, this is what her work is, and my career between Carrie and RJ, have received many phone calls from me, and as I do a lot of superintendents about different scenarios, the options there are, just like she was alluding that down the road, we will have a conversation with her around, should we be thinking in terms of reinvesting the current finance that and so that's what their look is. And so Carrie will be back in the future if you need her and around the scenario if you need. This is just like I said, step one. So I do have Mark, you're more welcome to stay as long as you want. Okay.
Thank you for answering all of our questions.
Not a problem.
Welcome information.
It's always an easy one. It's in your backyard.
Yeah. So we do have so Mark is with us last year, Mark and his team went through our facilities and we put together like a list of the priority 1, 2, and 3. And so we generated 5 pages long. and work for each building. And if you want, if you just kind of go down to Waterloo on the very first page, that might be the one that helps you the most. So you'll see there's not a lot there at Waterloo. And so things that are highlighted in yellow are things that Mark said, hey, we need to talk, have a little more conversation on this. Ones that we're not highlighting, ones that our team was talking through, what ideas we thought about and talked about, were there. So Waterloo, as we said before, becomes kind of the standard of where all what we like to see all the buildings that you get to. And so Waterloo will come to a completion. Is one building that does not have a generator. The security monitoring system. The security monitoring system is that system of monitoring water, monitoring heat, monitoring that kind of stuff. Okay, it has nothing to do with monitoring students, staff, cameras. It has everything to do with protecting our facilities from any kinds of harm.
The system update that is indicated on this sheet.
Yes.
Is what you've described.
That's what I just described. Yes. When we say security system.
But there's other security systems. Like
yep.
3.5 million, is that what we're at now?
For that, we haven't bought that since I've worked here.
That was
no.
The last time you told me it was 3.5.
Well, that was for security cameras.
Right.
Yeah, this is more of intrusion, taps into your fire alarm for recording, any kind of water spills.
That wasn't part of our mass notification systems and stuff that went in?
We haven't done mass notification yet. We haven't. We did the base,
it,
the PA
yes,
system.
Yes,
we
did.
So we have another
mass.
But the mass notification we haven't started yet.
Right.
So
this is like your Habitat or your alarm you put at your house. That's a simple way of saying
it. And that wasn't originally included in the plans for the Waterloo project.
Oh, well, no. Well, we put a pilot in to see if to stick with Habitat that's not wired. But if we were going to do the whole district, it would be probably $500,000.
We talked about that.
Yeah, so that's why since we gutted that whole building and the ceilings and everything, instead of spending $30,000 and rewiring everything, we went the very simple version of it that's wireless to pilot it. See how we like it before we made any big decisions on moving to an upgrade.
But you won't know that until the system is operational.
Yes.
For the year.
Yeah. This
so
number.
This is in addition to that, or
no?
This
would be. This just a number to give you an example.
Yeah.
It is. We don't have to have it, but if you Burkfield building burns down, you want to be notified.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not suggesting any of that. It's just that I got a file this big on security stuff that is constantly being added on, and I just want to be mindful of what we're doing
100%.
Because I thought you were doing a pilot for that
yes.
possibly could roll out, but if that's the
case. This page was done last year, though. So
it was not the same. This
yeah.
was the page last year.
But since the bond, where we were finishing that work, We had to put a security system in there, so we went with the cheapest system we could do to try to see if that would be as good as the old wiring everything.
So Habitat was the cheapest?
Well, that's who we already use. Habitat. But if we did do a bond, we would probably do a district-wide bid, and then Habitat could bid, other people could bid.
Verizon
on
could bid.
Yeah.
When you get so, this like this right here, it's all about making sure everything is covered. And then pulling things off and no. So, because if it doesn't get on the list, it doesn't have to be it, okay? At the beginning. And so, we're trying to be catch as many things as possible. There are going to be items on this list that we've got. And we're going to, and you may go, what about this? Now, it's written in, because it's a typed out document, that's the most ink you have. You could have written it in pencil, you could have had an eraser. We would have done that, okay? That's the whole point, is that you go through, we go through this practice of here, it's showing you what things could potentially look like. There's a ton of options. Understand that there is no decision. There's nothing. But what we know is that Waterloo, when we pop down through here, is that Mark and I go, hey, make sure that we need to talk about, should there be any kind of kitchen updates, and then the parking. So, the west parking lot will need to be addressed. And so, if you look at that building, that building is almost to the finished stage. When we say finished, like proper maintenance over the years, and then down the road, looking around
Is that many young people at this table? Okay. Sorry, I'm just looking over here. Feel much better about myself. I appreciate that. is that the idea is that for the next 25 years, the work is done. And it's down, but 15, 20 years from now, because you have 15-year bonds, 20-year bonds, so you have to decide something different. Okay, but I'm going to share with you what does this look like. So with that, I'm going to kind of turn over to Mark. I'm going to walk through here and talk over some of the stuff.
There's one question.
Yes.
On the two lists, the one that was generated originally for projects needed to get on the new one, what was the time frame? I don't know what it would be on that. How long ago was this one generated?
So I took that one, and the next one, my team and I compiled.
Okay. So when was okay. this? Because this is the one we were going by. Yeah. I just didn't have a date on it.
Yeah, this one is.
Because this has a lot more on it than this one.
Right. Because once Mark and I sit down and look further into it, we have to show, some things are on that other list and not here now. For example, we talked about Marquee, right?
Yes.
They're not on that.
Right. Right.
So this is part of the refining process right there. And so it is Mark's opinion, we need to talk about these items. That's why they're highlighted in yellow.
Okay. I just want to get time to go. Thank you.
So really, I mean, the way I look at a lot of the stuff on this list is, how did you bring these buildings up to an acceptable level, right? And that can be defined in a lot of different ways. This is one way. This is to bring all these buildings up to a level similar to where Waterloo's at. All right? Fair enough? And that's what the list represents. So at Raisinville, halls and ceiling lights are being redone. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the list. I'm not saying they are being redone, but that's what's on the list. Mm-hmm. Classroom ceilings and lights, painting the halls and classrooms. Of course, when you bring ceilings down, you do all that work, you have to paint, and you're also going to have to do some reflooring. Classroom furniture, electronic interior doors. That's the access controls for interior doors, and that's primarily for the classrooms. Flooring where needed, security monitoring system update. The existing parent loop, that's stone over there, is shown there to be paved. For some minor electrical, classroom blinds. There's some questions about kitchen updates. That's a pretty old kitchen over there. Updates there. Playground has drainage issues. There's tuck pointing needed. Masonry tuck pointing around the perimeter of the building. Kindergarten toilets were never touched. There was one. Perimeter concrete base repair. If you walk around that perimeter, you can see a lot of the foundation, a lot of the concrete around is falling. And sooner or later, something's got to be done with that. And then some exterior lighting around the building perimeter. And those were kind of the things that we felt, hey, if we did those things, we could get it close to the same condition as Waterloo.
Like on the kitchen, I know we purchased quite a bit of kitchen equipment for Raisinville. I think it was like freezers or whatnot. We bought a whole bunch of other stuff. So we bought all the equipment. We do that in the kitchen, and now we want to rip it out and update it. Is that what the idea?
No, I don't think you would update.
There's no dollar amount here, so I don't know if you're doing a complete remodel or are you adding and helping the existing.
Yeah.
So where's the dollar amounts?
So we didn't put in dollar amounts. This was the things that you see in yellow. Are additional, probably to that list that you have over there.
Yeah.
I never saw that list, but
I was given these other items here that we've been talking about, Andy and I. And so.
I look at the total cost of 1.1. That's what's there without anything in yellow being highlighted.
Right. That's correct.
And these are big ticket items. I think these aren't going to be small amounts.
So it's all about how much time we also have to get everything prepared for you guys. Okay? So that's.
I'm not in any hurry.
I know you're not. That's quite
evident. Part of the process is we want to put together a realistic list,
yeah.
Right?
I just want real math numbers.
And that's just part of it. This is like, this is what would have to be done on these buildings to get into a certain.
Now, whether you lower those
standards, try to get it within a certain number, that can be done. But we just got to have a starting point, and this is kind of what we're working on.
Manor, really you're going to see a lot of recent similar stuff. These buildings are all
similar age, have had similar upkeep, and have similar needs. So Manor, hall ceiling and lights, classroom ceiling and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, new furniture, electronic interior doors, security monitoring, parent loop pave, flooring. That one does not have a generator. Has some minor electrical, classroom blinds, and some kitchen updates as well.
So to get a frame of reference, between the 1.1 and the 1.8, the main difference at Manor is a generator.
Yes.
At Raisinville, those numbers, would we expect those numbers with, not holding anybody anything, we're just spitballing here, would we expect the numbers to be similar at Raisinville as to Manor? Or higher or lower?
I would say probably similar, but part of the difficulty is in some of these numbers is how much investigative work are we going to put into them to put a number together for them. Some of them are tough to tell because we don't have access to all the areas. You can't see what you can't see until you get into it, right? And so, yeah.
I'm not looking for hard numbers. We're just looking for ideas.
But I think you're in that range.
Okay.
Moving on to Custer 1, you see an air conditioning there. The other schools that we've talked about, Waterloo, Manor, Raisinville, already have air conditioning. Custer 1 is set up. We did some unit vent replacements throughout there. It has the coils in the unit vent, but it does not have condensers or compressors. It needs electrical run to those areas, so... there's a $2 million item there for air conditioning and Custer 1. The electrical service is adequate there, but it would just be the runs to the classrooms. Ceilings and lights, classroom ceiling and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, new furniture, electronic interior doors. Again, that's primarily in the classrooms. That's for access. Security monitoring system, parent loop. Right now, there's no number there. You don't have a parent loop out there. I know there's one in the works. Next item, electrical. As needed, classroom blinds, domestic water replacement. So that was an add-on that if we get that, as domestic water is original, and we got in and did some bond work. There was a problem with the domestic water. I think that we replaced some of it as much as we had to do the work. But that building's old, so.
There's some band-aids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
Is that what the market at what the sense of? Well, that's the distribution system throughout the entire building. So, through all your boiler rooms.
But, like, the pumps and the piping?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not your hot water system, not the boilers or anything like that. This is just the drinking water, the water you use to flush your toilets. Yeah, it's all, really all original other than...
Yeah. Yeah, other than the stuff that we touched for the bond work, the recent work, or maybe some repair work that's been done that's had different areas
fixed, but, again, that's the same sort of thing. This is tough stuff because...
Can't see it. Right?
We touched it in certain areas and it's bad. But this is all stuff that's either underground or it's
behind walls or ceilings, and we can't get to it. So, oh, from what we've experienced, that's something that's you guys should be aware of.
Yeah.
Cluster 2, boilers, piping, unit vents, air handlers, and air conditioning. Basically, the system hasn't been updated in a long time. The next item, hall ceilings and lights, that was one that was actually done and could come off. We thought we took that off the list, but that one could come off.
Yeah, that was recently done about 3 or 4 years ago.
Classroom ceilings and lights, painting the classroom.
Didn't you replace bulbs and LED stuff throughout? For the school, because we passed, there was $300,000 to do the lighting, and I don't know what that existed. I know it was switched to LED.
The high school has been completely upgraded. Entrances, areas that we work. But Waterloo is the only school besides the high school that got all new lighting in the classroom and the hallways.
Wasn't it $300,000 or something like that?
It was more than that for Waterloo. I'm not sure what you were.
I'm just saying that I thought there was a retail recently of the light bulb.
That was probably one of the Waterloo bed pack add-on addendums for the hallways, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
I just try to think of what we approved money for and what it got spent for, and how does that correlate to what we're asking for.
Anything that we've upgraded in the last 5-10 years isn't going to be on this list. Unfortunately, we have $60 million worth of repairs, and even if you spent every dollar of our sinking fund, the increase in escalation cost price surpasses that every year. So it's not that I want more taxes either, but again, you don't upgrade it the right way, you're going to pay for it either way. Yeah. If the building's open.
Well, that's a little extreme.
No, not, I mean.
Yeah, you either, yeah, because there
so
are.
So, like, let's say at the middle school, if the boiler system had a major problem, would you want to invest in that building? I don't know. I'm
we
just
already
saying.
Did. We just invested a lot of money in that building.
At the middle school?
We did the entire elevator system. So.
Again, because we had to.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, at some point, we don't want to fix everything and just say we did it, but. Lighting is one of those things that can pay back the district.
That was my question earlier.
Because we did have a company come in and do a study. We ended up not going with it, but they did I'd have to pull the information, but it does pay back 3, 5, 7 years. You're going to complete replacement. Painting the classrooms, electronic interior doors. Electrical service up that would have to be done if the air conditioning went forward. Classroom blinds, kitchen updates, and staff toilet room updates. So the staff toilet rooms were never updated as part of the multi-user restrooms.
In order to get electrical work like the electrical interior doors, would the electrical service upgrade be required?
No. Those are all, that's all low voltage stuff. So it's really
yeah, they're electrical all the same.
Yeah, it's just where we're adding a significant load. So air conditioning adds a significant load to the system. Not sized for air conditioning. Riverside, we highlighted and took off hall ceilings and lights there. That one was done as part of the bond. But the classroom ceilings and lights were not. And I know this might be an item later on, but none of these numbers are taken into account. Hazardous material abatement. Ceilings over at Riverside and some of these other schools have the best of them.
Once you touch it,
Well, yeah, so we would have to figure that in there. We would bring in somebody like DMD to help us evaluate and assign.
Because Waterloo had the same
situation. Waterloo had some, but I don't think they had much.
Nothing compared to like Riverside or Arbor South.
Yeah, they had to do some. I remember they had to, but it was mostly piping.
Why they don't touch it, right?
Yeah, if you open it up though, it's that's your time to do it.
Yeah.
So Riverside classroom ceiling and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, new furniture, electronic interior doors, flooring, generator, and an automatic transfer switch. Security monitoring system updates, some electrical, classroom blinds, kitchen updates. There's domestic water piping replacement again, and classroom toilets.
So you want to see ATS, that's the one I generated on this building, was a lot of the other buildings already have the ATS system set up. This one doesn't. So
that's part of usually when we do a service upgrade, we'll add the ATS in. It's not a lot of cost, and it gives you that flexibility to be able to put the generator in and you're ready to do that. Otherwise, it's a big cost, it's a lot of downtime later, and it's more complicated. Harborwood North, boilers, piping, unit vents, air handlers, and air conditioning. Again, very similar to Custer 2 and its age of its hall ceilings and lights, classroom ceilings and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, and furniture, electronic interior doors, flooring removed, generator and MPF. That one is in need of parking lots and walks on both sides of the building. Security monitoring and system update, some electrical, classroom blinds, kitchen updates, again, domestic water piping replacement, and staff toilet updates.
So, are some of these items associated with the sinking fund? Because on the note here, it was like concrete sidewalks, parking lots, and other things would not be part of the bond. It would be part of the sinking fund. So well, I see them on this. Yes.
Yeah. So with your sinking fund money, you're restricted to using that for buildings and grounds, right? Have to pay for those things out of the sinking fund. The bond can also pay for those things.
Okay.
And when we also happened is, like we did through our current bond, is a grading of the fund. So we look at it like, hey, let's look at this page right here. All right, we see these items here. And let's strategize for the next 5 years. And we sink the money here for this. And then
we also need that for the repairs.
But that's part of the overarching conversation, though, as far as you take all measures, both funding mechanisms. And how can
they work together? So one of the things, like, on this list, you'll see some things like the furniture.
You can't buy
furniture with your sinking fund. So there's some things that you can do with that you can't do with the sinking fund.
But I think the point that I wanted to make was, you don't have a
sinking fund to do all this stuff.
Because you can do with the bond what you can also do with the sinking fund that doesn't vice versa, is what you're saying.
Right.
They just seem to cross over and just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Harborwood South, air conditioning doesn't have it. It's been almost 8 to 10 years since the unit vents were updated there. So they're still in pretty decent shape. They have space for a coil, the coils weren't installed. Certainly.
No compressor.
There's another air conditioning components are put in, so that would be something that would need to be done there. So kind of bringing them up to the same levels as, let's say, Waterloo. Hall ceiling and lights, classroom ceiling and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, new furniture, electronic interior doors, updating all the interior doors. So the
next one is a redesign some of the classrooms on the south side of the building to add some new walls to be able to split that those into separate classrooms.
We have a small portion, a couple areas. There's really that space, kind of like what we did over at Raisinville. So we took Raisinville, all that office area, demolished it, and redesigned it so that it's appropriate. With some of the mindset over here, you have all of the space that you have some big spaces, kind of the small spaces. You really take and just redesign that area.
So what we're doing now is considered a temporary measure.
What we're doing right now is making it all
work.
Make it work. That's my
goal. Perfect.
Upgrading the auditorium. Gym floor. Gym bleachers. Some flooring. Generator and ATS. Security monitoring system update. Electrical upgrade. Classroom blinds. Kitchen updates. There's domestic water piping again. Kitchen water heater and associated piping. Cooling the gym. Cooling the auditorium. And window replacements.
Mark, if I follow the same line of thinking that we looked at, we're looking at $6 million change. That domestic water piping is supposed to be pretty comparable in size, probably another $2 million, not comparable. Would that be a good guess?
I don't think we put a number to that. Do we have a number on the domestic water over there?
Yeah. So
some of these, like, you don't see numbers. Okay. Exercise in a lot of these to look at those costs. Start a conversation here.
Question real quick.
Yeah.
So let's pretend poof, somehow our district hits the Mega Millions, and we can do all these projects. Is there a way that we could do them strategically so that we don't end up in another situation 20 years from now where, like, all the air conditioning units all of a sudden have to be replaced, all the generators all of a sudden have to be replaced all at the same time again? Is there a way to strategically do things?
That's a great question. We've got $60 million. I don't know if it would take us 6-7 years to spend it. So it would be staggered a little bit.
I think that that's probably just the cycle of how things happen. I mean, you know, that's one of those things. It's a great question, but we have lots of aging infrastructure because stuff was put in the 70s and,
right.
You know, we're paying, we have to, it's just the way it sort of, it is. I don't know if there's a good strategy there.
There's a question that's related to that. So besides door walkthroughs, like, what do we have in place? We have a process where we go through and inspect all of the work, the recent work that has been done that's still under warranty, so that we're getting those repairs and replacements done before we're eating all that cost. You know, is there a replacement?
These are generally
like big tickets, like roofs and things like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So your warranty on construction works a year. But now you get more than that on some of the equipment, right? Those are manufacturer warranties. Roofing warranties, so every roof that we do has a 20-year warranty on it. We track those.
But do we have a place where, do we have somebody building some grounds or something that goes and looks at all those things before we have a big roof leak? You know,
we check them because, especially when they're starting to get out of warranty, some roofs will go years past, but you still got to check because that's why I said your asphalt and your roofs, that could theoretically take 30 to 40% of your sinking fund if you have bad winters and you start to end that cycle.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a good idea, when do those warranties, when are they coming up? Why is it able to get a good inspection
in there? So what we normally do, like on those warranties, is your warranty is good for 20 years, but we will get 25, 30 years maybe out of a roof. There may need to be a little bit of maintenance in between. But we wouldn't necessarily go just to put the warranties up and replace the roof.
Right. That wouldn't but I'm just like an inspection.
Yeah.
Go out there and take a look and make sure everything's good before we let that warranty lapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
ADA, we talked about this. Doesn't even what we're looking at right now doesn't even touch ADA compliance at any necessarily. I mean, there might be areas where they overlap,
yeah.
Right. But we're not even talking about.
Like the bathrooms will upgrade when we
sure.
upgrade a bathroom.
Sure.
So yeah, like doors and
sure. Right.
Some of that stuff, you know,
and that's not even figured anywhere in here.
I think if we did the tour, absence of that, we would probably have a different. Or some there'd be some crossover, but I could see there being a different list.
Some of it's
because it's a lot of it's like we understand.
It was built
when
like,
we've been like this. We understand that this is getting older. You know, where did we want to sit with this? You know, I get it. Everybody that owned the house completely
yeah.
understands the process, like an nth degree.
ADA is different. It's a little toucher because that if you built a stage at the high school, it would have to be different than this now.
Right.
So how do you, other than build it from scratch, you can tweak stuff. And so different things, and it's based on complaints. It's based on need.
Right.
So that's a – we have to really rely on our architect to help us when we're going to do some construction. Is this the time to upgrade that?
Right.
I think the thing we struggle with is there's ADA compliance, and then there's what really makes us more inclusive, right? Because you can get to the bare minimum of what the government wants, but I think all of us at the table should feel comfortable about what we're doing, because that's one part of inclusivity that we hardly ever talk about, but it's a big form of inclusivity, I think, that because that's a big ticket item. It's not,
but that's where
easy.
I value about points, and that's. A lot of those. You look at stuff, and so you have a list. We have to start somewhere.
Sure.
Hey, why? I did see this on the list. And should we have anything to have that talking out? Or, you know, this item is very important about timing that. Say everything's enough. All of our roofs in addition, we do have a lot of them, and they're faded so that we're not getting any huge projects. The only thing that really wasn't staggered is the little high school, the cricket parking lot out there. That wasn't staggered. That's very big price down the road, okay? But thinking down the road, you will have to do walks of buildings, and you're going to see things going, I didn't see this on the list, but how do you make sure that gets on? That's what you saw on both the Ugwood South and over at the high school, where you see money associated, for example, with the state. And there are other, and so is it an ADA part of it? Is it this? What is it? And so, I think that's part of what we have to, you know, really go back to what we.
So the upgrade of the auditorium listed at $500,000. We don't know if it's looking at updating to that degree,
yeah.
or just updating.
So that one at
to update because
yeah.
that's $500,000.
That's the 5'6".
So
that's the 5'6" building, and that might be just as simple as far as its lights and a few other things in that room right there. It's just more that says, hey. If you want to do anything with this building, don't forget the auditorium.
Yeah, I'm just
about the high school.
Yeah, and I think those are great questions, but they're probably future like things. Like as you move through this and you start looking at the list closer, you start kind of figuring out what you want and what you don't want. You know? Right. Right. Yeah.
I always have to keep going back to that because we can't go with the premise that. Now we're just deciding what's going to be on the list. Because I think it will have to turn together. There is a, so I understand what the process is.
Orchard, boilers, piping, unit vents, air handlers, and air conditioning, hall ceilings and lights, classroom ceilings and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, new furniture, electronic interior doors, flooring, generator and ATS. Parking lots and walks, the security monitoring system updates, electrical switchgear upgrades. That's a unknown, but we know that's an aged system, never been updated there, so that has some updates needed. Classroom blinds, kitchen updates, and exterior door replacements. Monroe High School, that one probably had the most work in the last bond. That's a mechanical updating that was needed there. But there were some areas that weren't done.
But there was a lot of interior work done, too.
It was because of the mechanical.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But that's what had to be done in order to do the mechanical.
Right, right.
Updating the auditorium, electric and lighting, stage work, updating the music room. Mm-hmm. And then the restroom and chair room. We talked about we really have four options as far as the pool, the middle school. We're going to get in that here and show them. See there, updating the CT area, including I-wing. New addition between A and B wings. So that's part of a bigger discussion, I think. But as we get down below and we talk about the middle school work, that's one of the options, is to bring the middle school over to the high school and put an addition on there. New high school office, that would be a secure entry admin office, front courtyard.
New is addition. That your design that you drew up?
Yes.
That's that all pretty?
Yeah. That was the, yeah, that was that same addition. So you see a new addition, gym, track, and pool. Parking lot. Parking lot. And then in the H-wing locker rooms and showers.
The track one stands out to me because we obviously just...
This is all indoors.
Yeah. Okay. And Fenmore. And then Fenmore, you have the bus parking. Parking lot to be updated. There's a lot of ruts and updating needed there in the parking lot. The garage shop. Storage building, they have a need for storing items that are being stored outside. Mechanical upgrades. Generator can come off. We did put a generator in there a few years ago. They may need something, though, for the storage. Depending on how that's used. Grade or something there. And then the administration building. The one there is a mechanical upgrade in terrible shape and needs to be, I think we're going to get some more life out of it with some key. Work that's being done now, but it's aged and it's probably just a time thing before something needs to be done there. Ceiling and lights, of course, when you do the mechanical upgrade, you're going to bring the ceiling down, and that's the time to update throughout the building and put ceilings and lights in. And then that generator really isn't sized for the entire building anymore. A lot of IT stuff, a lot of
security,
a lot of things that were put in, some of that generators.
It's $6 million.
Of course, the stuff that you didn't see in these numbers up above, in orange there, are contingencies. You know, there's no add-ins for escalation. So these are like today's numbers. We're not projecting out 2027 when construction, or 2028 when construction might start. So... and, of course, I mentioned the hazardous material abatement, and we would want to have some numbers on feeling of that. And then the last item that you see down below is really to talk about the middle school and what to do that for that. There's kind of three different options there. The first one is just try to fix all the current known deficiencies in that building. So there's asbestos abatement, there's unit vent updates, updating the multi-user toilet rooms, staff toilets.
How about just in the bathroom?
I thought that middle school had those when I first got there.
No,
the very first tour I did over there.
They're awful. They're not that bad.
They were gray with the gray.
Excuse me. How about you, Arborwood, maybe?
I don't know.
Arborwood got upgraded. Arborwood
saw it. Was there.
Domestic water and sanitary piping replacement, generator, ETS, electrical service and switchgear upgrades, hall ceilings and lights, classroom ceilings and lights, painting the halls and classrooms, auditorium seating updates, replacing the cafeteria rooftop unit. The pool deck is starting to spall. You can walk around in the tunnel. You can see some areas that are starting to look pretty bad and need some repair. Improving the gym air circulation. And then, of course, the big one is cooling. Can't talk together for these are just options that we were throwing around talking about.
I don't see the boiler.
No. Boilers are newer.
Are they new?
Yeah, they're not brand new, but they're newer.
2000. I think it was 2000.
Yeah. So,
I was there then, so.
One of the things that unfortunately, we're talking about is that if you do go in there, we can start talking about fixing or updating sewer, updating also water lines. The look of your building is for sure. Okay, because again, it matters. The hallway when it looks, you can put drops and you can high glass. Okay. The way that current building looks would not be the way it ends up looking. It's not really.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be our strategy. Is we would have to route the piping somehow, and the easiest way is down the hallways. It's the most cost-effective way. Probably abandoning a lot of the existing domestic water and sanitary in place, and running new down the hallways, and then putting new ceilings and lighting it. Most efficient way to do it. Certainly not cheap. Exterior of the building's in really excellent shape. We've done a lot of masonry tuck pointing over the last probably 10 or 15 years. 10 years for sure, there's been three major. I think we spent about almost $800,000 on the tuck pointing of that school. Pretty good shape. There's a few areas that could use it, but it's not enough to say throw it on a bottom.
Can you staff it okay?
Well, the last time it was looked at, it was. However, that's a tall chimney. It's not used anymore. It could come down, right? Like, it's at most of your schools, the chimneys are more liable. Future maintenance. But there's also a cost to take them down now, too, which nobody wants to do. So.
Asbestos abatement, is that assuming that there's exposed asbestos or that we're guessing there is?
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do some
asbestos.
No, I understand that. You're talking about putting it below ceilings, you don't have to break up the higher ceilings. You can drop it low and that will help with that. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I just saw it on here and I thought that was a contingency more than
We don't know. We'd get D&D involved, your environmental consultant, and we'd look at the projects we were doing, and we'd say, hey, these are the areas. This is kind of the kind of work. And they'll say, well, your floors, you've got some piping, maybe some ceilings. I don't know. I really don't know what's there. And it's just a placeholder to say, hey, it's something that we need to look at. Because if you're going to do this work, the last thing you want to do is get into the work when you've already sold the bonds and then go, hey, we got all this extra cost that we had no idea.
Yeah.
Right? And we should have known.
Right.
So just try to do the due diligence now on the front end just so that we all understand kind of the scope of what we're looking at. Option two would be a new building in sight. We could, you know, build a new building somewhere else and develop a site for the middle school. And then, of course, option three is to build a middle school addition onto Monroe High School, utilizing a lot of the Monroe High School existing infrastructure that's there for programming for the middle school.
Isn't that already calculated into these costs?
That one is partly. We haven't done a full
option three.
Yeah, we haven't really looked at it. I think one of the things that probably hasn't been talked about too much is like just go with these different options. Is it going to fit the program in the model for 2 years? You know, vary a lot in the cost
based on the programming that you want to give. And so we're kind of throwing some numbers here at this point just to try to give a starting point to talk about as we delve or if we delve deeper into some of these options or some of these numbers,
because
there's going to be more conversation.
Yeah, because if you get in some of these projects, just the things that we based on, $67 million is not going to touch it. Because some of these things we're talking about aren't like $10,000 to $20,000. They're hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, you can't do everything on this.
Yeah,
for that.
But we also could never go back to the public and say, give us more money.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't even be, that'd make my heart sing.
Sure. The last option there was option four, building a middle school addition onto Arborwood South. So that's another possibility. And again, utilizing some of Arborwood South's existing infrastructure, the classroom pages.
And all the playground stuff is back here.
Yeah.
Well, we are at an hour 30, just for and I know pool was part of that discussion, so I know it's
So, Mark Curry with us tonight here. What is your drawbridge as far as how much further you want us to go? Is it, all right, we've got to keep generating numbers, we need to do some walks as a group, and really define down what the numbers are. And then, because when it's all said and done, you'll, as a group, you'll decide, okay, do you do something, not do something? And then, as you're very thorough, and then with the pool will be either you say, yes, we're going to do something based on, as Mark said, you know, based on the programming for that building, you determine, you know, as the pool at the high school, you may say, well, no, we want Arborwood South to be our location for the. Because of that, you know, we have to talk about the gymnasium, we might have the pool right there, it's all one stop shop location. Okay. So you talk through all the options that you would face. But at the end of the day, you may just say, you know something? We're not taking the voters, so now we just need to talk about what do we do with our pool? And let's decide that. So it's a multifaceted problem. If we really want to take a moment, just look back right there.
What does this board prioritize? Like, what do we want to put on the top list, put our energy, money, and focus into, while being mindful of all the other stuff that needs to go on? So, you know, what do we prioritize? What do we want to focus on? We've only had so many meetings here. We've got time limits on all of these. We're very limited on the scopes for which we can do a lot of times. And I think that, you know, let's structure where we want to go and then fit in. Rather than, this is my thought.
Propose, which was, let us do some walkthroughs. Yeah. I like that way you can see it. I don't know if anybody else here is a visual person, but when I'm looking at lists, let's see what they look like. I mean, what we have in our thought process, but that's just one person's idea.
I agree, and I would also really like feedback from the staff about what they need in their buildings. Right? So, like, if we could hear from teachers and parapros about, like, the day-to-day, what are the things that are, like, constantly that are the recurring problems? Like, as an example, when I was still at Raisinville, it was those toilets in the kindergarten bathrooms. Like, what is going on with the there? And it wasn't because kids were, like, flushing G.I. Joes. It wasn't that. It was just because the plumbing is so old that sometimes it just can't keep up with, like, the capacity of the building anymore. And also, like, the way that the plumbing is structured, like, it's literally a bottleneck. Anyway, so, like, understanding the nuanced needs of the building from the people that use the building would be really helpful, I think.
Good point. Back to the pool discussion that Carrie wanted to start talking about. I think that we continue to keep trying to placate people on what we're going to do. It's like we're playing, ping pong or whatever we're doing. And when you say what you just said now we're going to look at all the buildings. I think the pool's a priority. I think we all establish a pool priority. Is a pool priority over academics? We can argue that all night long, whether that's which one is more important.
But that's,
we can argue that all night long, whether that's which one is more important.
But that's what we're here to do.
I understand that. But what I'm getting at is I think we have to move on some options that we have for a pool. That's my personal feeling.
The trouble is what we do at the middle school influences on the pool.
Yeah.
We don't want to fix the pool and then all of a sudden move the middle school and realize that we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
I don't think he's talking about the middle school pool.
Right. I understand when you added that variable, what you're saying. I get that. But there are other options we can still entertain that may not. And one of them I think we've talked about is making it like Jefferson, a rec center style building. If we have land to do it, maybe that takes the pool off the table while adding some other capabilities.
Yeah, I guess what I look at is we need to look at, I would suggest first doing a walk through the middle school.
Sure.
Because that controls everything else. Well, what we do at the high school, with the pool, it's all dependent on what we do at the middle school. And recognizing it's a 100-year-old building next year.
Yes.
And family. Is it more cost-effective to build a new addition to the high school versus trying to fix a 100-year-old building?
Right.
And hoping it lasts another 30 years.
A lot of the others talk to other school board members, like, around the state, and their school districts came back with the financial analysis that, like, raising a building, like leveling a building and building new, is less expensive than redoing a 150-year-old building. And that's wild to say, but, like, that was their cost analysis. Ours might be different because we've already done some things to kind of, like, delay, and we've been doing really good maintenance on, I don't remember what the term was, but, like, things that have to do with bricks. But, like, I think that is also going to be a really important piece of data when it comes to making that decision of, like, where do we go? Because, yes, is there beauty and value and sentimentality and history in keeping Monroe Middle School at Monroe Middle School? Yes. But money is also something that drives our decision-making and making sure that we are good, like a good fiduciary for our community is also really, really important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything more to it because there's just no room for
it. No, right. That's it.
So in the future, you move it or the Arborwood, you still have additional room if you want to put it in the future store.
But this is all for...
I was looking at the numbers of building that new addition between the A and B and the high school as an option of that we possible moving the middle school over there. That's $10 million right there. Now what I've heard is a new school building probably right around $10 million, if not more. So are we still looking at some of these items at the high school in a special way?
Yeah, so what will happen is, carefully to get you an idea on the cost there. I always say it come down to, big part of it is your point when it comes to the pool. Do you spend $3-ish million and just update the current pool system, or do you spend $10 million to a larger pool that you can account that handles that 8-lane system? That's a conversation right there.
Do you have existing property somewhere that would
for
would
it be
at
the
high school?
Yeah. With the way that everything's being designed.
There we go. Dog park. Let's put a pool at Roslyn.
Right next to the
one. Right, there you go. Look how great that works.
I mean, everything's going out.
I'm happy.
With all the athletics, all the extra heading out there, most likely the high school is the appropriate location for it. And I got back here. And so that it puts it in front of the gymnasium. Right,
but the school does have the Roscoe field. The Roscoe area. That would be community oriented.
One of the things I thought about, you bring up really, Mark was even saying what your program is and where you're trying to capture your program. And location, honestly, has been one of our greatest challenges. So you look at the location of our high school, I'm sorry, middle school. You know, in high school, where the high school is at, you're transporting students out.
Yeah.
Okay, and so busing becomes a part of it and or getting kids back and forth. And so that's why that concept we brought forward about the idea around some eighth graders having their own location, already doing things there. Now, if we think in terms of like a more of a community centered mindset, well, that whole direction, that's a whole different direction. In a whole different mindset.
Well, we don't have a direction yet, so we could look at anything.
Well,
like
but
that,
it,
right?
But it is because you're asking for a different form of a village.
I get it.
No, I get what you're asking for. So that's why I said it's a different kind of direction. Together. So you're asking for one item while looking at something different.
You're saying that you really, our belief system is that you really can't do one or the other.
No, I think
you couldn't put a rec center and still proceed with a bond issue for the new school, whether it's middle school, all that stuff.
Yep. So it's all about what we as a community can sell
right.
For our community.
Sure.
It's all about getting the rec center. And if we believe that we can get a rec millage put together that will support construction and the millage that while still doing this here, then that is an option.
So do we know, is Jefferson, is there a payoff point? Do they get to a payoff point? Where do you get to on that?
Never.
I mean,
that's a fishy.
I'm trying to be fishy.
There's a lot of history.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be fishy.
Okay, I'm not trying to be fishy. And the main stuff of the facility is what that does.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all it does right. Now. When it got constructed,
yep.
I don't know.
That was at a different time.
Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of money there.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
Jefferson was spending a lot of money.
But to your point, though, is back to like Mark shared, programming and thinking in terms of, we had that one drawing which showed like the large domain that had three words, the track, and the pool would sit there. So you are talking about that is a community also. You want me to space it for the community.
But that takes a lot of travel to get out there as well.
Yeah.
So the people live in the community, and in order for community people to do such services, they would have to find a way out there. So it doesn't matter whether you're transporting students from the high school down to the rec center or people from the community there, you're still going to have a transportation in regardless of either way. But you could have it more accessibility in town because there's the bus system, there's walking paths, there's bikes, there's all kinds of stuff.
But other than the school, the local community center that's really servicing a good part of the city.
Yeah, but they don't have this kind of stuff. They have like a learning center, they have a boxing area.
I think it's a new building. I think it's going to have a fairly large gymnasium.
I think it
is. Other than a pool, it won't have a pool out of it.
Right.
You know, it's all about what we're trying to accomplish. Is it district as a student first? And so that becomes primary. Location.
And maybe the city could turn the middle school into your community center. It has a gym, has a pool.
Well,
we just wouldn't
so
have to pay
bad
the people.
That it needs to be
they
unused.
Can, they can fix it.
Then
no.
It should
not.
We
are not saying, and we'll not say that our middle school is bad. None of our buildings are bad. It's just saying that at the end of the day, our house is awful. We're just saying also at the same time that. Doing our district to almost finishing this up makes a lot of, in my view, a lot of sense because of the work that's happened by people 15, 20, 25 years before us. And so the middle school is still conducive. It's a learning environment we're going to be using, obviously, with whatever decision we make. That building is going to be used for the next 5 years. That building isn't changing because if we make a decision and it passes, I do
that. I mean, you got to sell the vision one way or another, right? So, I think if people that are struggling with not having a pool right now understand that our vision is to get to this point, whatever option we choose by this set time, that we have something to sell. At this point, all we're doing right now has been punting this thing around.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this current board. I'm just saying in general, this has been punted around for a while.
Yeah.
But in the first bond. That question was put out, and people vehemently said no to the pool.
Right, but we don't know how it was sold. We don't know any of that stuff.
Right.
Sending a survey out is, I'm not a big
fan
of
surveys.
That's
how they do it, though. That's how they did the survey to determine. I'm just kidding.
No, I don't even know what the survey looked like.
They have
it.
At that time, the survey was
really
set also because local schools have not had a bond. In a long time.
Yeah.
So it was the first, okay, we've got to do something. Let's put it out there. Let's see if we can do something. And thank you to the community for my opinion, all the work that has been done. And just first, and then we talk about the planning of the ESSER funds and SIN fund monies on a lot of funding projects. A lot has been done. So in the speed of time, one is we're not going to keep, I wouldn't rank funding the pool stuff is. Add to it, write down things that you're like, okay, I think this is kind of something we've not here, things that we've forgotten, but then I think we just need to come back and grow further. Mark and I can work on this and help generate some more numbers in our field. But again, with every bond that I've always seen, not everything will get accomplished. So you can't oversell it, okay? We had to put some things down.
So the next is you bringing back more information, or are we going to do what was suggested?
I think we can do some walks.
And do some walks. And
that's it. I think we can do some walks. So that way you can to
Mary's point, get the staff and get staff. Do that via survey, or how would you do that one?
See, I don't know. I really want, like, unfettered input. Right.
So it's not. It needs to be anonymous at some point.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
I could do is on our opening day, we'll talk about, like, this is, honestly, this is easy. This is a building of a principal talking to their group and say, look, the board's having conversations on this. They're soliciting your input. Put it down. If you want to put your name on it, great. If you don't, so be it. But what are some things, facility-wise, that you'd like to see in this? So, much more to come on that, though. There. Again, like I said, this is just final decision is in your court, okay? This is just something that we do.
We shouldn't.
Very far off, right? I do appreciate you guys tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to move right along.
I don't
share
your
knowledge. School choice. This year, we released 110 students total, 20 of which were current MPS students. So, 20 students. Last year, we only had 4. The year prior, we had 21. So, we're still relative there. Last year, we released 115 students. Our numbers are still holding very similar, and I say similar in, like, in the area of kindergartners. So kindergartners has been sticking right there around that 16 to 22-ish, and that's what we're seeing still there.
Do you have paperwork on
this? No, it's just my little document I have here. The other part I think that's really always interesting is our parochial system. And so we had 24 students request to go somewhere else. Last year was 22. So our numbers are very similar. This will be in a board brief to you, so you'll see that's what it'll be.
So 110 students.
Yep.
Requested a school of choice.
Yes. The ones that.
Inside or outside.
This is outside. This
so
is
going somewhere else. Wanted to go somewhere
else. Somewhere else. Now,
so
understand.
Which one you got to go?
None of
them. I don't
know. Here we go. I'll step back and slow down. We have students, if you can see on this list, that their parents work in another district. Okay? 4. They got released. Okay? We had people that were on 1-year release. Okay? 16 of them were on a temporary 1-year release. What I'm saying out loud is, students that we saw last year, money that we saw last year, that we know that those students are not coming back, there were 20. So when we really think about school of choice, it's the number of kids that you had in your system are not coming back to your system. These other students, we never even knew. We knew that they're out there. They're in our district. They were choosing the focus. They might have been choosing homeschooling, choosing whatever. They just didn't choose us to come back to us. So one, they said, gotta go to another district.
You didn't have to release that.
What's the law?
I have to release in our county 44 students.
Do you have to release students for their parents?
Their parents in the district.
That's a
it's
lot.
Automatic. We have students that their siblings are already there, and so it's their turn. They automatically go. So yes, at the end of the day, with Darla. So the remaining ones, we could have said no, not being released. Okay. From a financial side, we had 20 students that were on our records last year. That 20 students, $10,000, $200,000. But we also had 17 come in. So we're negative 3 comparison to students that we released that we physically had in our system. Okay, financial.
So everybody that wanted to be released from the public school, that's not the 110 number.
That is 110.
Okay. So you didn't release, or you released 110?
I released 110.
Okay.
Yep. Because I know I look at it a little differently. It's really about the kids
I know.
That are in our system.
I get it.
So that's really that
too. Because when the reason I came in, it was not about people being allowed to have the opportunity. We wanted to make sure that people didn't feel like
that, that 20 students had left, none of them left because of the redesign. Many of them left due to planning to move into that district, benefit for my family, parents of graduates there, spoke to the home. It's right on the border of another district.
It doesn't matter to me what the reason is. I just wanted to make sure that we met everybody's needs, regardless of what it was. So that was a big topic of conversation. How about the moves within the district? That was a big talk. How many people that were needing to go back to Waterloo? How many people got to stay? How many people got, remember the school of choice? It was like, everybody, if that's your school, you're staying.
Yep.
So we were able to accomplish that.
Yes, some help.
Sure. So we're in the process right now of going through all of the classes. If this unit was ethics, so people feel obviously that would be in touch with the automatic pay. And the said, oh, you know, I have some of my kids raising dogs. We have to look at these previous rooms in the school for the students, health affairs, first grade teachers, and we're already 7 kids who are registered to raise them up for first grade. We can't keep up all of the responses for first grade because we need additional meetings. So we're really thoughtful when we get them to lighter about bringing a plea to the next.
Because that was the biggest topic on the entire redesign. Is are we going to be forced to go to a school that we didn't want to go to? And I really think the message that went out was, we got you covered, it's all good.
So those, all of those students, they wanted to stay at the school because they were too many people to want to be able to stay there. I do think, though, that there's a lot of excitement right now around water.
What about all the students that were at Ugly Top because it was a K-room in the building? What choice did the parents get?
So all the
about out. Where they went after that. Did everybody get a choice, or did they get assigned? Because when Waterloo shut down, no, they just got assigned.
So there were some kids Waterloo.
Right, we know that. They're in
Hudson. Okay.
I'm just talking about the general population of students. Did they get the option, because they didn't have an option of their school no longer providing those services? Did they get their considerations considered? That's the question. If I go tell someone that and be like, no, everybody got it, I want to make sure that what I'm saying is true.
It is.
We're trying to massage a few different places and talk to with families, but we should be able to do that.
That's why we also said that we knew that would take a couple, two or three years through the redesign for the buildings to balance out because of the intermittent for different requirements. So if you're always at Custer and you're not going to send the water, you would stay. And so that was,
so transportation, if I am getting this right, was already required to submit whether they wanted transportation or not. Did I get that right?
So it's we asked for people to submit through Google Doc if they want transportation or not. Now, if they come back and say, oh, man, I should have selected, they'll still be on.
Yeah.
Okay. What we're trying to do, and Patty really wanted to get way out front, she did, is having routes figured out and actually having an actual number rather than waiting for parents to fill out the new registration form. So that's how we put that out ahead of time, just so they could have an idea
So that they don't end up at the school as you're making the move, they intend to move through, that may change their transportation requirements based on whatever you come up with. So as long as that opening still exists, for them to be able to go back and go, well, wait a minute, I thought I was going here, now we're going here. Even though I'm okay with it, I now need that.
So, when the water machine went to the restroom and they wanted to stay at the restroom, they had to provide their own transportation. We are not providing transportation for the 25-26 school. So we called all of those families individually so that they understood that if they were still placing their child to the transport,
I'm still back to the Arbery South students. A lot of them are walkers. A lot of them, you know, they walk to and from school. I know they have, like, these groups, and they kind of help each other out in the community.
Right.
Without, like, all of those students, no way can go to North. Are you... Like, all the students that are currently at Arborwood South, how many are there? Not counting the fifth and sixth. I know, but I'm just trying to say, where did they all go? North can't handle all of them. North, all the students from South. So these parents can still walk their kids to school and do all that. I just didn't think that building could handle that anymore.
Didn't we adjust the boundary a little bit?
Yeah, but that's again now all of a sudden the boundaries have changed.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's 1,000 perimeter.
I don't know the boundary.
Yeah.
Right. So we're getting a redesign update anyway tomorrow. Is that part of it? Just the numbers, the movement and all that kind of stuff. Because that's the biggest part of the redesign is teachers. How many do we need? What do we need to do from a staffing standpoint? And what do we need to do for student accommodation? That was the biggest part of all of that, besides the money.
We're having that tomorrow.
Got it.
Can you give more brief about those students
The other item was full board reinstate hearings. So many of you already said that the reinstate process for the committee. We use the exact same process that we do there. You're going to get the material that I can please go through those. What's different here though is just like in a student discipline hearing, the parent and the child can decide to be in closed action or not. Okay? And so that is one distinct difference right there. The other part being is when we finish, you'll make a decision just like you do in the student discipline hearing. You'll make it, you'll have a conversation, right? You reinstate, not reinstate, traditional, whatever it needs, then we'll, if it's say it's done for. And it will be at that motion, support, and done. Rather than the process of now, the committee does it, makes some recommendations to the full board, and another board meeting, that we just done. Then, if you did supply in your material right there, a calendar, July and August. Thank you. So for July and August, showing the different board meetings that we have in there, and then we also will need to start adding.
Anticipate needing an additional 2 to 3 meetings. You guys will have anywhere between 5 and 13 full board reinstatements. It'll depend on whether or not families get the paperwork in and they're ready to go for reinstatement. So in addition to these meetings, we have to look at dates of when you guys would like to have tentative reinstatement panels, because we do need a quorum. Then just do 3 to 4 per night. So we would really want to try to stick to the 30-minute range because those are awfully long nights. And when you look at this, adding another 3 meetings to the schedule because they have to be done before the end of August. So,
about keeping set on Mondays and Tuesdays?
Well, if you look at this paper right here, with the topics, all of those are already taken by other topics that have been requested. So that's why we provided this in the board briefs with the list of topics that needed to be held at those work sessions.
But what Gina is doing is she's going to put together the document of blow and there's a date on there, and you're going to just say yes or no, and then all the goal this program shows with me my process is we're trying to do this in 30-minute increments. Okay, so we can move through these. Obviously, that we build this side, but you know, we could have up to 13 meetings. Know that that's coming to be in your hands right there. Now, I'm talking to Jessica today. We have done four before. So, don't have another 3.
I thought it was 4.
As of 7:30 this morning.
It was 3. Okay.
So, and maybe 1 hour. You know, parents get stuff turned in. So, look.
He wants to tell you what dates are good with us.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be probably by the end of this week, at the latest Monday, I will be sending out a Google Doc with essentially the survey function. I'll have the dates and times listed. Please just make sure to fill that out, and then I will go through on the dates we have quorums. And what I will probably do at that point is put out a tentative calendar invite, so that way you guys have it on your calendars as reserved.
I don't think we're going to miss the 28th and 29th next week. You know what I mean? It sounds like if we follow that process, 28th and 29th, is it going to be done by then? That we could put something on the 28th and 29th?
We could.
Yep.
I'm just saying, let's not lose 3 days.
I was
going to
say, it's
going to
be like...
Yeah. Okay.
We say 4
boards,
it's
4.
We need
4.
Just need
4. I'm just thinking not miss some
time of the meeting. But if they're 4:30, that's going to be a struggle. If they're 5:30, at least,
we might have... We'll start at 5:30, so
we're not, you will be where I'm not, you will be.
And that's why we plan to share this right here, is because there is a lot. As long as we can have 4, that is. So then the last item was facility building naming process. The 5-6 building, Harbor North, Harbor South, will move through this year a naming process, okay? I've been just using it as a placeholder, the 5-6 building. Anyone that has asked me, I've been very clear that I'm not naming it. You guys at the end will have try to give information right there. I really believe this is a community, which is the students, the parents, the staff, even the community as a whole, to gather a list of potential names for the buildings, let there be some voting, and then bring back top.
You really want to go that far into, like, we can have 10 different names.
Options, get out. Yeah. Then we'll
options are okay.
I'm just thinking, this is going to get you done for 6 months. So we're going to keep it Arborwood South until then.
Right now, it's Arborwood South, 5-6.
I call it 5-6.
I call it Camden. 5-6 is a descriptor, just like North.
Well,
but when you start calling something, when you're 5-6 building, it's like
taking
a turn. But I'm confident that you're going to see a lot of, if you're a lot of people,
I want to.
That point, though, is
other than
this is a year north of the building. This is one of our very first plans. We need to get the building and get it done so that when we hit that second meeting in September, here's.
Oh, you don't want to do that before that.
No, you want to really engage the kids and the staff and everybody because this is a great safe space. If we go and do it, we're going to fail. And I don't want to ever have an input on to the name. And then when it's all said and done, you probably get the top 2-3 again. And then you make a recommendation and say, you might have 4-5-6 cancer and whatever other name was in South. And you guys go, all right, we did that. We hope you remember that they should support, and it goes through, and you're done.
Thing that's like widely publicized and discussed during open houses, opening day events, all of that stuff. Great. And then also, maybe we could take a tip from U of M. If anybody wants to name the building, just donate $25 million.
I don't know.
Oh, I know why that's called Hollywood.
You know this?
I know why the tiny building was called Hollywood.
They did do a community, but Robert Fields was the
PR guy
at the time. Yeah. It was hot. It was like Hollywood, and then it ends at Arbor.
Yep.
They kind of mashed them together. That was Hollywood.
How long ago was that?
10 years. 12 years now?
Probably about 16 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that point is that you're going to decide this 2 months. I want to bring to you guys in September.
This year,
decision. Then we have the market out there.
Pretty cool.
Runs off your house, guys.
Yeah.
That's nice because in the spring and fall you still can use it.
Oh, we've talked 24/7.
I believe that at some point they have more PhDs
Is it the right time, or what does it become? Yeah. And so,
who?
I don't know. There's a lot of money there now. Ann Arbor keeps more.
It goes this way, and it pushes that way, and it pushes this way. So all the schools that surround Ann Arbor have all become enriched because of people moving out of Ann Arbor. Although I don't really know why they're moving into Chattanooga.
They
got to
go somewhere.
Board members, make a comment before we adjourn?
I'm good.
Okay, now can I get a motion to adjourn? That's right. Go ahead. We're going to have to see for
Seven forty-one. 7:42.
Yeah, 7:42.
What about the ball?